Sorry. Any idea what we're up to? Okay, so we didn't talk about the Zman yet, the mitzvah, right? Okay, I think it's been about 6 weeks. Okay, let's see if we can figure out where we left off. Okay. You other guys know what the shiur is? Or?
Yes,
I do. Okay. Okay, so let's begin to talk a little bit about the Zman of the mitzvah Menachas Tefillin. So we, of course, grew up with this notion. I'm not trying to dispel this notion yet. We grew up with this idea that you have to put on tefillin every single day. So I want to just question whether that's true. Now, don't accuse me of having curses on the first day. The shiur is hanging for a second. So it's a suffix actually in the Pirkei Avot. That we're going to raise the question, what exactly is the mitzvah deraisa of Hanukkah's tefillin? The Torah is very, very vague in terms of the timing. You have to put on tefillin. When? Who? What? Where? So we know that it was the common practice, b'zman chazal, to wear tefillin the entire day. And we know that b'zman hazem, most people don't do that. So how do we understand exactly what is the shiur, what is the zman, how much of the day people have to wear tefillin? So people are going to raise the shayla, is tefillin a type of a mitzvah that you have to do once a day, every day? It's a mitzvah deraisa, it's linked to the day proper, and you're mechuyev deraisa to wear tefillin every day. How long on every day? One could argue, 1 second. But like somebody done very fast. I put one finger off. Shabbat meal said, went off for a second, off for a second. So mitzvah deraisa is yaitzi the mitzvah. Aye, but we find that Bizman Chazal, people are wearing tefillin for so long, and we'll see as we go on why that practice changed Bizman Hazeh. So says the Pirkei Avot, it could be that midaraisa, the chiyuv to wear tefillin, is 1 split second every single day. And then there's a kiyum mitzvah midaraisa to keep them on as much as you can. Now that's not a foreign concept to us. There's an idea of a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. So the mitzvah chiyuvis is every single day, split second. The mitzvah kiyumis midaraisa is for as long as you can. And then for whatever technical reasons, so our practice became, after the time of the Gemara, the time of the Gainim, somehow to... It's better for us to avoid the mitzvah kibbutz. We have reasons why we stay away from mitzvah kibbutz. It's too dangerous. People are going to be less careful. So whatever the reasons are, we'll get to it a little bit later on. But that's one way of understanding what the mitzvah deraisa is, chiyuv versus kiyuv. Or maybe one could argue that midaraisa, once you put the tefillin on every single day, so then there's really no reason in Atari to keep them on anymore. You did the mitzvah already. Shorten them on. Why do we have to keep them on any further? The fact that I keep them on longer, maybe that's a midas chasidus, maybe it's a din derabon, maybe something. Maybe that's not even considered to be a real bona fide mitzvah midaraisa. So people go, I'm not sure. Or maybe there's a third possibility. Maybe the third possibility is that it's actually not a mitzvah that's linked to the day. The mitzvah is hanochas tefillin. A Jew should be wearing tefillin whenever he can. If you can wear it all day, if you wear half a day, so you did half a job, you put it on for 20 minutes, you did a tenth of the job. I mean, it's not linked to the day per se. My nafkamina, what would the din be? Let's say a person has two choices. He can put on tefillin Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for 5 minutes each day, or he can put on tefillin for 3 hours on Sunday, and he won't be able to put them on at all on Monday and Tuesday. So which way should he go? So if you go down the first route to the Pirkei Avot, that there's a chi of gomer mid deraisa to put on every single day, and past that point, it's just a psakiyum deraisa, derabana, the hid, or something like that. But the basic mitzvah chiyuvis is every single day. It's daily linked mitzvah. So then it's move on the eilov, that you have to put on the tefillin on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Even though sachako, you only have to put on for 15 minutes, that's better than having them on for an hour on Sunday and not on at all for Monday and Tuesday. So Reb Chaim held that's not correct. Reb Chaim held that the mitzvah tefillin, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. We all say that b'chol yom v'yayim. Reb Chaim said the mitzvah of tefillin is all the time, whenever you can. You're supposed to be wearing tefillin. So it says Reb Chaim, if you put on tefillin on Sunday for an hour and not at all Monday or Tuesday, that ikaron is better than having them on for 5 minutes on each day. So generally, the halacha, we don't follow this. Reb Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, obviously didn't quote Reb Chaim, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pirkei Avot, Mishnah Berurah assumes like the Pirkei Avot, that there is some kind of a chiyuv gomer that's linked to the day proper. And anything above and beyond that is some abataris hidur, the deraisa, the rabbana, whatever the case may be, a kiyum, but there is a chiyuv gomer with deraisa, even for the smallest amount of time. There is a ritva that says that the chiyuv gomer with deraisa may be more than just a split second a day. The ritva connects us to a Gemara in Masechet Brachos. But the Gemara speaks about the significance of having tefillin on b'shas Kriya Shema. The Gemara has a famous line that a keri Kriya Shema, the enem and yech tefillin is man in shech b'yatzma. A guy gets up and he says, "Kshatem le'el se'adecha." So, Mister, wear your tefillin, not wearing tefillin. So you're made in a shech there. You're testifying against yourself. You yourself, you're a shachrin. You're saying Mukshatam Yosei Adach, and now you're lying, you're not wearing tefillin. So the Gemara says that's the Merin Shecha B'Yatzmai. So the Ritva in Masechet Yuma quotes that Gemara and says that he thinks that mid Araisa, you have to have tefillin on B'Shas Kriyashma or B'Shas Tefillah. Those are the ikos manim of Avoida. That's when you're Eved Hashem. So all the Pesukim talk about Hashem Shem Lekecha, you have to put on tefillin, you have to wear your tefillin, B'Shas Kriyashma, B'Shas Avos Hashem, B'Shas Avedis Hashem, Lov B'Chol Levavchem. So the Ritva has this new idea that maybe there's some kind of din Araisa that you have to have tefillin on B'Shas Tefillah. This would, of course, give great credibility, great support to our custom. And our minhag has become that we'd have to take our tefillin off unless it's b'shas tefillah. So according to the Ritva, that distinction between shas kriyashma and tefillah captures to the rest of the davening, and upset the rest of the day, that's really a concept, that's a chiluk on a level of deraisa. But I'll go upon him, there is some kind of a deraisa, but it's tefillah, no question about it. But not 100% sure when it's linked to every single day, whether it's a more of an ongoing kind of a mitzvah. But definitely, obviously, there's a mitzvah deraisa of anachas tefillin. Is there any time when one does not have the mitzvah? Is there any time that's mufka for this mitzvah of Menachos Tefillin? So there's a famous Gemara in Maseches Menachos in the third parak that quotes a Machlekes HaTanoim about this question. And it all revolves around how to reap Shana Pasuk in Chumash, a Pasuk we read last week that appears in the Tefillin. That's the Pasuk of Shabarit Esachuka Zois Lemo Adam Yamim Yamima. So that pasuk is very cryptic because it's not clear what the chukah hazois is. The Torah says we have to be shomer the chukah, so we're not sure what that means. We're not sure which chukah the Torah is referring to, and we're not sure what the phrase yom yamima means either. It's also a very, very cryptic, very vague term. So the Gemara quotes a machlekes between Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva, just teach how to understand Shana pasuk. Rabbi Yosef Glili says that pasuk is talking about tefillin. How did Rabbi Yosef Glili know that? Because the pasuk immediately before it is talking about tefillin. The pasuk says, "V'ha'ya l'chal yosu yalchu zikrom en nech lamanti etos shavafira yirub v'shamata z'chuk ha'zoi." So Rabbi Yosef Glili says that the word zos is referring back to the immediately preceding pasuk, and the Torah is telling us we have to be shomer the tefillin v'shamata z'chuk ha'zoi. And what does it mean, miyam yamima? So Rabbi Yosef Glili says that's the mokor, that you wear tefillin in the daytime and you don't wear tefillin at night. Yomim v'lo leilas, and then Rabbi Yosef goes one step further. Yomim v'lo kol yomim, since the Torah doesn't say yom yom, it says mi yomim, means some days you do, some days yes, some days no. So those days that are unique days, what I consider to be unique days, Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yosef, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, midda araisa. So in one fell swoop, Rabbi Yosef just knocked out three different time periods, midda araisa, which are not shayach danochas tefillin. One is Laila, one is Shabbos, and the other is a Yom Tov. And then the Gemara goes on to say that let's say a person goes out and puts on tefillin at night, the Gemara says that's an Aveira. Why? Because the Shabbat is a Lashon Shvir, it's a Lashon Isser. You're not allowed to do it. It's not that the Torah is saying you're pot, the Torah is saying you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, you're not allowed to wear tefillin Pashas and Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is all true according to B'Yosei Glili. So then the Gemara quotes the second Tana, Rabbi Akiva. And Akiva says, Rabbi Yosef Glida's entire understanding of this pasuk is not correct. That the chukah zois is actually not even referring to tefillin; it's referring to korban pesach. Why did Rabbi Akiva think it's referring to korban pesach? Because the context of all the pesukim before tefillin are korban pesach. The thrust of this parsha is v'avadatas avodah zos b'chodesh zesh b'shom tochel matzos yochev le'yochel chomet v'lozov. The thrust of the gavat labidcha. Most of the pesukim in this context in this parsha are talking about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So al zeh ne'emar b'shamata z'chuk ha'zois. The machlekes of Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva is an interpretation of psukim machlekes. Rabbi Yosef Glili thinks that b'shamata z'chuk ha'zois is going immediately on the pasuk beforehand of tefillin. And Rabbi Akiva says no, it's going on the general context, on the primary context of that pasuk, namely the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So what does the mitzvah mean? What do the words mean according to Rabbi Yosef Glili? What does yom yamima mean? It cannot mean what Rabbi Yosef Glili thought it meant. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, it's referring to Korban Pesach, you do not bring a Korban Pesach every day. So unlike Rabbi Yosef Glili, who thought Yom Yom means daily, Rabbi Akiva thought Yom Yom means annually, it means yearly. You bring a Korban Pesach, Yom Yom. Now in Tanakh, the phrase Yom Yom sometimes means days and sometimes means years. So it means an annual, like Yom Tiyah Gulasa. Yitesh Benara, Itad Yomim Asar, sometimes it means an annual event. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it means a daily event. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it means an annual event. It's referring to Korban Pesach. So what about wearing tefillin at night? What about wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What would Rabbi Akiva say about that? So the Gemara goes on to say that at night, there's no pasuk. Everything's put to prove it also. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the mitzvah of tefillin applies at night as well. Then the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, mid the Rabbanon, they said you shouldn't wear tefillin at night. Why? Shema Yishamem, because you may fall asleep. And one will be so terrible if you fall asleep in your tefillin. So we're afraid if you fall asleep in your tefillin, you may act in an inappropriate way. Maybe your body won't be so clean. So maybe Shem Yafiach Vem, other reasons that may go wrong. So therefore, Midi Rabbanan, they made a gezeira not to wear tefillin at night. So at the end of the day, no one's wearing tefillin at night. In the days of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yisrael, no one's walking around 11 o'clock at night wearing tefillin. The machlekes at Tanaim is, why are we not wearing tefillin at night? According to Rabbi Yisrael, it's midiraisa. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's only midiraban. Then what would Rabbi Akiva say about Shabbos and Yontif? He doesn't have a pasuk. There is no pasuk to be my Shabbos and Yontif. So that was a further machlekes at Tanaim within the view of Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yisrael, we know Shabbos and Yontif off limits of tefillin. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not clear. So according to one Tana, Inochinami, as we remain Rabbi Yehuda say, that Inochinami, that do we have tefillin, at least with the rice and Shabbos and Yontif. Nothing wrong with tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif and Torah. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva himself will disagree. The Gemara quotes the Brice and Rabbi Akiva himself, with at least one version of Rabbi Akiva that says that no, even though I hold that you're allowed to wear tefillin at night with Torah, but Shabbos and Yontif you don't wear tefillin. Why is that? Because the Torah says tefillin is supposed to be an os. Yotzu Shabbos and Yontif shem atzman os. The Shabbos and Yontif themselves are an os. If I already have the os of Shabbos and Yontif, what do I need the os of tefillin for? So, at the end of the day, we have a machlekes of Yosef Levi Rabbi Akiva. We have a machlekes at Tanan Aliva the Shittas Rabbi Akiva. How does all this play out for us la halacha? So, Rov Rishonim Paskin Rabbi Akiva. Rov Rishonim Paskin that Minat Torah Laila is Zman Tefillin. The Rabbam disagrees. The Rabbam happens to be the one Tanan, the one Mishnu Paskin Rabbi Yosef Levi, but most Rishonim Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Minat Torah you don't wear Tefillin. Minat Torah you do wear Tefillin at night, but Minat Rabban you don't. But Minat Torah we Paskin that you don't wear Tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Shat and Leos, Yatsu Shabbos Yom Tov, Shadat Benos. So let's see if we can just analyze these two halachas now, how they play out for us, the Maisa. So we have Laila on the one hand, and then we have Shabbos and Yontif on the other hand. So we paskin, according to overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch included, that in the Torah, you can wear tefillin at night. And you mechut to wear tefillin at night. But the Rabbanan, they did away with it. It's like, Zayin Rashem Yafiach Behem. So there is a chiddush of Rabbeinu Peretz. Peretz, one of the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Peretz writes that since we paskin against Rabbi Yosef Glili, we don't follow the Rambam. We paskin that Laila is man tefillin min haTorah. It's just a chashash with the Rabbanan. Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that maybe the gezeira of the Rabbanan was only made in a situation where it makes sense, where there's a real fear. What if you have a situation where it happens to technically be nightfall, but I know I'm not going to fall asleep in tefillin. Not in the shayla. I'm not going to fall asleep in tefillin anymore. So then maybe the gezeira wasn't made. So what do you mean? What do you mean not going to fall asleep? Says Rabbi Peretz, if it's 11 o'clock at night, you're exhausted, you haven't gone to sleep yet, so then we don't want you to be davening ma'ariv in your tefillin gezeira, you're going to fall asleep in a minute. But if it's, let's say you went to sleep at 10 o'clock at night, you got a good night's sleep, you woke up at 5 in the morning, it's the wintertime, it's still pitch black outside, but you're ready to go. You're getting onto the train, you're ready, you get onto the plane, you're getting onto your car, you're ready, you're on your way to work already. You're not falling back to sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're up already for the day. Yomashkim Aderech. So Rabbeinu Peretz says it's nirla loymar that the gezeira d'rabbanan doesn't apply under those circumstances. So the Rambam would never say that. The Rambam says Ben Atari can't wear tefillin, so obviously the reason is irrelevant. But says Rabbeinu Peretz, we don't follow this Rambam. We follow Rav Rishonim that it's only gezeira d'rabbanan. And then the chiddush of Rabbeinu Peretz is that the gezeira wasn't said under these circumstances. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbeinu Peretz halfway. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabbeinu Peretz, and then he says, but it's not that you should hold off to make a bracha. Now, don't run to go make a bracha on the tefillin right away. If you want, you can put them on a little bit earlier. You wait until it gets to the right zman, then you can make a bracha on your tefillin. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that he thinks that the ikra din the Shulchan Aruch really paskin like Rabbeinu Peretz. And according to Rabbeinu Peretz, you can really make a bracha also. It's just that liyesus eis that everyone agreed to Rabbeinu Peretz. So maybe liyesus eis if you can wait till later to make a bracha. And what if it's going to be impossible? You're not going to be able to make a bracha later. So then it could be that in Ochanam, even though you're waiting until 2 o'clock in the morning, but I went to sleep at 7 o'clock, I got 7 hours of sleep, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm up for the day, I'm on my way to the airport. So Rabbi says, it could be that Mikra Din, you can really make a bracha. Even according to Shulchan Aruch, really Mikra Din, you can actually make a bracha at this time. So the tshuva that Rabbi Shah wrote this in, the context, happened to have been the year 1974. My high went up in 1974. I was a little kid, I was 9 years old, then I remember it. It was the year of the oil embargo against America. Why did the Arabs decide to have an oil embargo? Because of the Yom Kippur War, because they were mad at the Americans for giving military stuff to Israel. So they decided, sure, we're going to hold off a lot of the oil. So there was a big embargo against gas. So it was a big, big problem. So America was trying to strategize to use as much, at least oil as possible. So somebody came up with this grandiose idea at the time that there is this concept of daylight savings time. So if you normally daylight saving times, now it starts already in the end of March, middle of March. In those days, it used to start like the end of April. That was when I was a kid. They didn't switch the clock till the end of April. So somebody said, if we switch the clock like at the beginning of February or something, we'll save a tremendous amount of oil because it'll get dark later. So it'll be tremendous savings of electricity. And there was some kind of a chedra that's going to save America like trillions of, of barrels of oil or something. If we just make this little switch, that year we start daylight savings time 2 months earlier than usual. That was the chedra. Whether it worked in Achveisnish, but that was the chedra. So they did it. Kachahava. So they did it. So I remember that year they changed the clock in like February. So the problem was it created total havoc for all the Zman HaYom. Because if you think about it, what it basically was is that, let's say, what time is dates this morning? I don't know. What is that, 7:10 or something? 7:10. I mean, Davi started probably 6:50. 7:10. So if you would change the clock now, so what time would dates be? 8:10. So there was a whole tkufa of like a month when like Netzacham was like 8:20 or something. So Netzacham being 8:20, so the good news is that the only min you can daven at in yeshiva is 8:30, because all the other minim were before this month. So that was I was in yeshiva, that was 9 years old at the time. But it was a disaster for the Balmatim, because everyone had to be at work at the same time. So everyone was still coming. You still had to be in the office by 9 o'clock. You had to leave your house by 8 o'clock. So the early minyanim, Pasha couldn't exist. 6:30 minyan was in the middle of the night. The imam said, you couldn't daven. Even the Evan, you couldn't daven. So there was a big, big, big problems about minyanim. Some of you may know that last year they tried to do this again in America. No? They were trying to push it. So the Aguda was fighting against it. One of the reasons is because it's hard to convince the government that's the reason not to change. There were other reasons also not to change the time. But in the firm community, changing the clock very, very early is a recipe for a disaster. So I remember the time I was a little boy, and I remember one Shabbos, the rabbi was giving a shiur about this whole topic. I didn't understand exactly what was going on, but I still remember the topic. He was talking about when should you put in your tefillin. So there were different ideas. Some people were recommending people to put in the tefillin in work. They should come to their work and put it on the office for 2 minutes. It was a bad idea. Guys didn't forget. So Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva at the time that those who have to put in their tefillin at 6:30 in the morning can put in their tefillin at 6:30 in the morning. They can rely on their parents. The guy's up already. He's going to work. You can't daven at 6:30. It's 2 hours before Los HaShachar. So you can't daven the later. You'll daven on the bus, daven the train, daven the car. You figure out 8:00, but to put in your tefillin. So you can put in your tefillin even before Los HaShachar. Following Rav Meir parents, and then Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva. For those people, they tell them not to make a bracha. They're going to have such chalish sadas. They're going to think they're not really willing to tefillin. They can even make a bracha also. That's the tshuva of Rav Moshe. It was the context of that tshuva was 1974. So the emphasis, there was a tshuva that was actually written before Rav Moshe. 30 years before, in a much more tragic setting, it appears in Tshuvas Mima Makim. There was a series of tshuvas that were written by Rav Ashri. Rav Ashri was one of the rabbanim in the Kovno ghetto. I don't remember, he was the Dvar Avram, and it really appears, I don't remember, could be Rav Ashri was the senior of the Kovno, I don't know exactly, but he was a Rav, definitely one of the Gedolei Olam who was in the Kovno ghetto. And he kept a record of shaylas that were asked him. He survived, and those tshuvas survived. So he had written down to some very, very, very difficult tshuvas. So one of the shaylas that was presented to Rav Ashri is that apparently there were some people who were must have been like they were being taken for labor and work by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And they would come like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. They would take whatever Jews they would make them work, and they wouldn't bring them back till 8 o'clock at night. So there was no time to put on tefillin. So the shaila was, can they get up at 2:30 in the morning and put on tefillin? Does that make any sense to do that, to put on tefillin? So Rav Ashri Paskin, the same as Rav Moshe Paskin 30 years later, he said, yeah. He says, because if you have like the Rambam that Lai allows one tefillin, Mamish can't do that. It's also to put on tefillin at night, Midaraisa. But we don't pass like the Rambam. Shulchan passes against the Rambam. And the Ikra that we pass like Rabbeinu parents. So if it's a Shasav Chak, and you're up ready for the day, you can put your tefillin on, and the Ikra, you can probably even make a bracha. So what Rav Ashri said 30 years before in the Holocaust, Rav Ashri repeated in 1974. Anyway. Back to our, so it happens once in a while. These shadows happen, it happened once in a while. Okay. So in terms of putting on tefillin and shops in Yom Tov, where does this place us? So we said we pass it like Rabbi Akiva, and we pass it like the version of Rabbi Akiva, that even we who don't accept the Shamarta as being the Mokor for Tefillin, but Kshat Nel Seyadecha teaches us that one does not wear Tefillin Shabbos and Yontif. So it's unclear in the Poskim, when we say that you don't wear Tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif, does that mean that you're potter from Tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif? Or does that mean that it's usur to wear Tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif? What's the Shaila? So according to Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, who learns out from the Pasuk, V'shamarta, V'shamarta is a Loshen Issa, is a Loshen Shemira, you're not allowed to wear Tefillin at night. But we, or you're not allowed to wear Tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif, but we who don't pass that, we pass it Os, so maybe Os is just a poiter, it's Mafkiya Dechiyav. A guy wants to put on Tefillin and Shabbos, I'll put on Tefillin and Shabbos, what's the difference? Or do I say no? That not only is it a waste of time to put on Tefillin Shabbos, it's actually usur. It's a violation of this. Like some Rishonim coined it, it's like a bizayin ha'os. The din of os is telling me that to go ahead and a Shabbos is not good enough ois. Yotah is not good enough. You need a second ois. That's like a bizayin to the yos of Shabbos. So there's something usur about putting on Tefillin Shabbos in Yotah. So it's not 100% clear what the answer to that question is. So the Beis Yosef, in all places, in Hilchos Muktzah, talks about the Shaila. The Beis Yosef, in the beginning of the Siman Hilchos Muktzah, so the Beis Yosef quotes a sefer an obscure sefer that says that you're not allowed to move tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They consider the halach to be like a klisha malachta le'iser. There's a difference between different kinds of kelim. Let's say I have a bottle, a water bottle. So a water bottle is a klisha malachta le'heter. There's no malach involved in drinking water, so I'm allowed to move a water bottle on Shabbos. Let's say I have a pencil. So a pencil is a kli that's usually used for malacha, used for this. You know, I write in Shabbos. So that's called the kli shablach d'liyaser. So what's the difference between kli shablach d'liyaser and the kli shablach d'liyaser? So the Gemara explains that, generally speaking, we're supposed to try to avoid moving things on Shabbos. So kli shablach d'liyaser, you're allowed to move for any very, very, even the smallest amount of need. What's the need? Let's say I want to use the water bottle, so that's okay. That's a tzach gufo. Let's say the water bottle's in the way, so tzach b'kaymai, that's okay. Let's say it's mechamal tzel. Let's say I'm afraid that the water bottle's going to get stolen, it's going to get ruined or something. So that's called mechamal tzel. I want to move it out of the sun into the shade. That's just like a figurative way of saying I want to protect it. So also allowed to move it. You're allowed to move kalisha b'ach l'heter for any shape or reason, form whatsoever. Let's say I want to move for no reason whatsoever. Stop. Playing around with it. So that's a big shot. It's called a total shalot or a klal. Klal, that's a different story. But any half-baked legitimate need for a klisha b'lach l'heter is mutter. A klisha b'lach l'yisr, it depends. If it's a tzarek gufo, let's say I have a pencil, and I want to use the pencil to prop something up. So that's called a klisha b'lach l'yisr, tzarek gufo is mutter. Let's say I want to put the challah down, the pencil's on the table. So that's the tzarek mekoymeh. Let's say I'm afraid someone's going to steal my pencil. I'm afraid the pencil's going to get lost. That's called b'chavetzel. That you're not allowed to move. So that's the difference between klisha b'lach l'heter, klisha b'lach l'yisr. Neither of them are really mukta. Mukta is something which you're not allowed to move at all. So the other things are mukta mamish, but kelim, generally speaking, are not mukta mamish, unless it's what's called mukta machas chesorin kis. Let's say if it's a klisha b'lach l'liyasa that's very, very expensive, and I'm afraid that someone's going to play with it, it's going to get ruined. So that's called the klisha b'lach l'liyasa plus. That's a mukta machas chesorin kis, and then I'm not allowed to move at all. So let's say if I have just a regular pencil, that's not so significant. Let's say I have my cell phone. So if my kid would stop playing with my cell phone, I would get upset. So a cell phone is probably a mukta machas chesorin kis. You're not allowed to move it, even if it's l'tzech ufa mekadem. So the Beis Yosef quotes a question. The earlier poskim, what's the status of tefillin? A tefillin called the klisha b'lach d'liyaser or klisha b'lach d'liyaser? So we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. We know that, says the Beis Yosef. But he's not sure the fact that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, is that because we're potter from tefillin? Or is that because it's usher to wear tefillin? So if we're just potter, but there's nothing usher about it, it's a klisha b'lach d'liyaser. If there's something usher about it, then it's considered, then it's like a pencil, like a hammer, and then you're only allowed to move it, let's say, kufa or mekayma, but not nechama, let's say. So the Beis Yosef quotes one opinion that said it's a klisha b'lach d'liyaser, and the Beis Yosef says, I don't know why. He says, like, v'shtei dinalei with tefillin Shabbos. All the Gemara says in Menachos, you're not mechuyif to wear tefillin. It doesn't say it's osur. No way does it say in Chazal, osur la'nich tefillin on Shabbos. So he thinks, worse than it is, it's just a yapotah, but there's no isser per se. So therefore, the Beis Yosef thinks that it shouldn't really be a klisha b'lach d'liyaser. The problem is that in Hilchos Tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch himself says, osur la'nich tefillin. So it's a little bit of a stira that the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Muktzah assumes that there's no issur, just a p'tur, and Hilchos Tefillin proper, he uses a lashon asur. So it's not that it's pashut pshat of machlokes of Rishonim, but it's not clear what exactly Shulchan Aruch holds about this topic. The later Achareim raised the question: if you hold that Tefillin of klisha b'lach d'liyaser, the charet should be muktzah machas chesorin kis, because you tefillin are much more expensive than a cell phone. So you'd be very upset if someone's playing around with your tefillin or something. You'd get annoyed. So why, if you're willing to say that they're klisha b'lachta l'iser, then it should go the next level of being muktzah b'lachta l'chazor and kiss. If it's a b'lachta l'het there, there's no such thing as a klisha b'lachta l'het l'chazor and kiss. It's first it becomes a klisha b'lachta l'iser, and then if it's expensive, you wouldn't use it for anything, then it becomes the higher level of muktzah. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes from his Rebbe, from Shlomo Zalman, who said that based on the regular rules of muktzah, taka tefillin really should be potentially muktzah b'lachta and kiss. If you believe the inal letter with tefillin on Shabbos Yod, against what the Mechaber says, Ruchus Mukhtar. If you believe what the Mechaber says, Ruchus Tefillin, so they should have been Mukhtar Machasar and Kiss. But the only thing is that it can't be that tefillin on Mukhtar Machasar and Kiss. Why? Because Kisvei HaKodesh, the Gemara says, is like the ultimate non Mukhtar. Like you can't get less Mukhtar than Kisvei HaKodesh. That's like the Chag Vel Yabar. So comes the Shlomo Zalman, he says that tefillin are like the parshas are Torah. You can't turn around and say that a sefer Torah is muktzah. It's not shayach, because I would have made such a takana that the tefillin are mamas muktzah. So therefore, maybe the muktzah machas, maybe the chishvachli is, maybe, ken zayin, but to make the next level that you can't move it at all, Shlomo Zalman doesn't think that that's correct. So it's a still unresolved question. Ruchas Mukhtar. But Shabur writes, the Chetchili should try to avoid moving tefillin if you don't have to. If you really, really have to, the mamish, you're afraid something's going to happen to the tefillin, they're going to get ruined. Maybe Yesh Loch Loch, they fall on the floor, it's a bizarre for the tefillin. So if you're afraid there's going to be a bizarre tefillin, you can move it. If there's no reason whatsoever, you should try to avoid moving one's tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So it's not clear whether we pass it Elsur, or whether we pass in Potter, but Zicha Potter, Zicha Dar Chaim. There's no question that we, Midaraisa, do not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So now, with that background, there was the most famous shayla of the Sugya. That's the question that Tosfos in the Rosh, other Rishonim raised, about what exactly constitutes Yom Kippur for these purposes. Yom Kippur means just the days of the Issa Malacha proper. Where does Chol HaMoed fit into this picture? Does one wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not? So the question revolves around, is Chol HaMoed considered to be an Os or not considered to be an Os? So in order to answer that question, you have to define what is it about Yom Tov that makes it. What is the characteristic of Os that defines something as an Os? Is it the Issa Malacha, the Mitzvah Sayom, or the Yisurim? What is it about Yom Tov that makes it an Os and exempts it from Tefillin? And does that spark carry over to Chol HaMoed? Next week, so we'll try to finish up the Chol HaMoed, which is the most labedic topic in terms of the Chos Tefillin. And then we'll try to talk a little bit how this spills over to whether Tefillin, the fact that Tefillin is a Mitzvah Shez Mangrava, where women fit into Tefillin, Ketanim. And again, we wanted to watch that. I don't think we didn't speak about the brachas here on Tefillin, right? Laniach, HaMitzvah Tefillin. Okay, so we still have at least one or two more Shurim Nuchos Tefillin, which was supposed to finish last semester. And then we'll move into Birchas HaTorah and try to move into Birchas HaTorah, Kriyash Matfil, the stuff that we're going to spend the bulk of this year talking about. Okay. Stop that.